Amazon catches fire, and a publishing business obsessed by gadgets huddles around e-readers 2011 in San Francisco. Welcome, everyone, to our special Friday feature in CCC's podcast series. My name is Chris Keneally, and we return again to the offices of Publishers Weekly to speak with their editors and reporters for an early look at the news that publishers, editors, authors, agents, and librarians will all be talking about when they return to work on Monday. Joining me again is Andrew Albanese, PW's features editor. Andrew, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Hello, Chris.
Well, Andrew, it has been a busy week for you, a busy week with a character named Jeff Bezos visiting New York City. Tell us what happened.
Well, the big headline is the launch of Kindle Fire, which is Amazon's new tablet device. So details and reactions are still coming in, but I think we can safely say that the e-reading stakes have once again been raised. You know, it was, I think, back in 2007 when I first wrote about Amazon and Kindle, and I wrote that Amazon's initial Kindle device was more or less a strategic bet by Amazon to sort of seed the ebook business. You know, Amazon is a retailer, I thought, you know, and they would never be able to outcompete Apple when it comes to hardware and devices. Well, I still don't think Amazon devices are going to outdo Apple's. But the Kindle Fire, it's becoming clear to me that the Kindle doesn't have to outdo Apple. Frankly, Amazon only has to outdo Amazon, and it is certainly doing that. You know, when the Kindle first launched, the reaction was, who's going to pay $400 for a dedicated black and white e-reader? Well, today the Kindle is the most popular e-reading platform by a mile. We have everything from a cheap color tablet now to an array of dedicated readers, including a $79 Kindle option, and you can even borrow library books on your Kindle. So a couple of initial observations jump out at me, and we'll have much more on Monday. But I think the Amazon Kindle Fire, will compete better with Apple than the iBookstore will compete with the Kindle store. In other words, I think it's going to be easier for Amazon to hold and solidify its hold on ebook customers with an inferior but significantly lower priced tablet than it's going to be for Apple to win with a far superior tablet but an inferior retail experience, at least as far as the iBookstore goes. And second, publishers and authors, what a great position they're in right now. Look at all these major innovative companies, Apple, Amazon, Google, Barnes & Noble, a host of others, and they're all battling over your products. But at the same time, it seems to me that the product we're talking about now increasingly is reading and not necessarily selling copies of books. And that represents a little bit of a shift that won't necessarily be an easy one for the publishing industry. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out.
Well, Andrew, I think you make two terrific observations there, but the latter one is the one that really is exciting to me. It's this notion that we've all noticed, I think, all before, that the publishing business is now a technology business, and technology is about innovation, and all those companies you listed are innovation companies. It's exciting to see publishers ending up in that same innovation community.
Indeed. You know, and it's interesting. Evan Schnittman made an observation last year at the Frankfurt Book Fair that once somebody buys an e-reading device, they're essentially lost to print, that they prefer reading on their devices. I don't know that we have enough evidence to say whether or not that's true, but it certainly seems like a good observation.
Well, we might ask Calvin Reed about that, because he's going out to San Francisco for a conference on e-reading and or e-readers, I should say, and probably will have a lot to say. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, and that's another thing that's coming in Monday's issue. Calvin Reed is heading out to San Francisco for the inaugural e-readers 2011 conference. So Monday's issue is going to have a full report on that program, which is featuring, I think, well over 20 presentations from a number of experts from some major firms and some of the up-and-coming players in the ebook market, in the e-reader market, excuse me, talking about everything from market trends to technical development, apps, and other impressions about e-readers. So we'll have plenty of e-reader stuff in Monday's issue. Also in Monday's issue, Gabe Habesh has a terrific story about Gail Carriger, the author of the Parasol Protectorate series. The fifth book in that series, Timeless, is out in March 2012, I think. But Carriger is branching out with two more books slated to feature the daughter of the Parasol Protectorate protagonist. I think that's coming out with the publisher Orbit. She also has a YA series coming from Little Brown Books for Young Readers called Finishing School. And Yen Press is releasing manga adaptations of the Parasol Protectorate series under the title Solus. And also on Monday's issue, it's not all about the e-readers. Our Judith Rosen has a story about booksellers' reaction to HarperCollins' recent announcement that it was making 5,000 titles available on the Espresso Book Machine. So is the Espresso Book Machine ready for prime time? We'll see.
And finally, Andrew, we've got some news from just across the hall here at Copyright Clearance Center that you reported on earlier this week.
Yeah, well, if I can shamelessly self-promote for a second, one of the more interesting pieces came out of your shop, Chris. Michael Healy joined the Copyright Clearance Center in the newly created post of Executive Director, Author, Publisher Relations. Healy was the man tapped by the Google Book Settlement classes in 2009 to set up and lead the rights registry that would have been created had the settlement been approved. You know, maybe our listeners remember hearing something about the Google settlement being rejected. Well, Healy's move is another sign that obviously the registry isn't happening. But I'll say this, even though the Google settlement failed, its registry concept did raise the profile of some of the complex rights issues plaguing the digital transition. You know, clearly the courts are not going to offer a solution, and a legislative solution doesn't appear to be coming anytime soon. So that leaves the marketplace to offer solutions. And on that score, I think Michael's in the right place.
Well, thank you, Andrew, for all of the news from this week. And I want to turn now to Rose Fox, a reviews editor at Publishers Weekly, who blogs at Genreville. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Rose.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, it's good. It's good to have you back. A segment I'm looking forward to this week. You've got a number of books to tell us about that are being reviewed, including, this surprises me, two books from a band who everyone will recognize. But let's start with the fiction. What have you got this week?
Sure. For fiction, this week's issue highlights A.S. Byatt's Ragnarok, which overlays the apocalyptic Norse myth and the Blitz of London in World War II. Also, our review of Ryan Boudinot's Blueprints of the Afterlife calls it a bracing dystopian romp. In the mystery thriller section, we have a Q&A with Nick Drake discussing his mystery trilogy set during Egypt's 18th dynasty. And keep an eye out for Craig McDonald's El Gavilan. Our reviewer says it's as sobering and urgent as tomorrow's headlines. The SF fantasy horror section covers standalone novellas from Elizabeth Baer and Peter Straub. In romance, our review of Star Ambrose's Silver Sparks says it smartly builds an organic, believable romance around a strong and genuinely suspenseful thriller plot. This week's comic section notes Seth the GNBCC, a wondrously satirical look at the ossified nostalgia of the world of comics collectors. In nonfiction, the books you mentioned are two books by Black Sabbath band members. We have Tony Iommi's Iron Man and Ozzy Osbourne's Trust Me, I'm Dr. Ozzy. We also talk with Arundhati Roy about her travels with India's Maoist indigenous communities, and we have a Q&A with Bill Cosby, who discusses formative childhood experiences and proposing marriage to cartoonist George Booth. Our lifestyle section this week goes from Jean-Georges Vongerichten's Home Cooking with Jean-Georges, a celebration of simplicity, to Kester Thompson's Cocktails, Cocktails, and More Cocktails, which gets into some very elaborate concoctions. We also cover knitting maven Debbie Bliss's newest book, Knits to Give. Our children's section covers 11 additions to familiar picture book series, and in young adult fiction, our review of Mary O'Connell's The Sharp Time says O'Connell shows exceptional skill in building tension and creating atmosphere. Finally, elsewhere in the magazine, there's a profile of Joan Didion, and Alice Siebold has provided this week's soapbox.
Well, thank you again, Rose Fox, who blogs at Genreville, for that great wrap-up of this week's Books in Review and Publishers Weekly. I want to thank, as well again, Andrew Albanese, PW's feature editor, for the news at the top of the show. Andrew, good to have you back.
Thanks, Chris.
It's been fun this week, and there have been a few tongue twisters as well. Rose handled all of hers just terrifically, and so did Andrew. But I think the prize goes to the Parasol Protectorate's protagonist. That one, I wouldn't want to have to say that 10 times fast. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/Beyond the Book. Every week, we bring you PW's Week Ahead. Publishers Weekly is the leading publication serving all involved in the creation, production, marketing, and sale of the written word in all its formats. Our engineer for the program, as always, is Jeremy Brisky of Burris Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, Thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.